This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Xiaoning and Philip. It has just gone past 7:46 in the morning. It's Wednesday, the 20th of January. And this morning, we are asking a question on Twitter. And it is, UMNO, of course, has said that party polls will be held this year at a suitable time. So we're asking you, can Dato' Sri Zahid Hamidi retain leadership of the party? Do let us know. But in the meantime, this question has arisen because the recently declared state of emergency has, of course, brought the government much-needed time to respond to the COVID-19 threat. But it also put an end to UMNO's hope of a general election, at least in time before August the 1st.
Yep, the emergency has forced UMNO to postpone its general assembly and party polls, which was scheduled for the end of the month. The party leadership has said party polls will be held this year at a suitable time, but will internal factions tear the party from the inside in the meantime?
So joining us to discuss the state of emergency on how the state of emergency affects UMNO's political strategy is Adis Alkafi, who is the director at the consultancy group Bauer Group Asia and also a political observer. Now, the declaration of emergency was seen as a strategy somewhat to counter UMNO's attempts to push for GE15, which had become increasingly vocal and take over the government. So how do you see UMNO strategizing in response?
Hi, morning, Xiaoning, Philip. Yeah, so whatever the intention of the emergency declaration by the government, is definitely a major setback for UMNO. You know, the party divisions just completed its AGM with the National Assembly scheduled for the end of this month, where the party was likely going to deliberate on its relationship with Bersatu. And then by the same time, Malaysia is struggling to contain the spread of COVID-19. So for UMNO, perhaps it was a wrong move at the wrong time, or rather it was caught between a hard rock and a hard place where no amount of strategizing can help eliminate the perception that the party is putting its own interests ahead of the national priority to fight COVID-19. So in short, I think it's back to the drawing board for the party on how it can challenge Bersatu or rethink about its relationship with the ruling coalition.
Yeah, so it sounds like a tactical mismaneuver, right? And when you say they're going to take a step back, look at all the options they have. When you look at the emergency, does that strengthen the argument for UMNO to stay with Perikatan Nasional? Or does it give more clout to Bersatu within the fragile alliance?
Yeah, I mean, UMNO may be suffering a major setback from the emergency and the pandemic, but this doesn't mean the party is now firmly in alliance with Bersatu. I mean, we saw at the division AGMs at the grassroots level, the sentiment is generally against working Bersatu. So what has happened is just perhaps Bersatu has been able to buy a bit of time. And UMNO is now, you know, back to re-strategizing, thinking on how he could take on the ruling party.
I'm just curious, are they still part of the coalition at the end of the day?
Well, in our system, obviously, yes. I mean, the party is represented at in the cabinet. So it is part of the coalition government. And it also, majority of its MPs are arguably supporting the ruling coalition. So the party is part of the government from that perspective.
And if Bersatu and UMNO were to go head-to-head in GE15, which party holds the upper hand at this stage?
It's hard to say, actually. Although UMNO is the more organised party between the two, you know, with grassroots machinery nationwide. But Bersatu also holds the prime minister position, and I think most of the senior cabinet positions. So we cannot underestimate the power of incumbency. Bersatu can always use its power of incumbency to prepare for the next general election. But at the same time, UMNO has the most efficient machinery among all parties. So it's a very balanced competition at this stage.
That's a very good point, because you're trying to distinguish the grassroots divisions versus the power of the premiership. So on the grassroots level, 143 of the 191 divisions are very clear. They don't want to work with Bersatu, but Bersatu has the premiership. So in your view, right, do you see Bersatu folding within UMNO or vice versa based on these power dynamics at the bottom and at the top?
If that were to happen, I think that the biggest beneficiary would be Bersatu. So in our political system, right, the outcome of any political alliance or merger is the allocation of parliamentary seats to avoid contesting True. Against each other. So if the two parties were to merge in whatever form, UMNO as the bigger Malay party will have to let go of many of its traditional parliamentary seats in favor of Bersatu leaders. So this would be unacceptable to many in UMNO grassroots. So it's I think it's unlikely to happen. I won't rule it out entirely, but not in the near future.
And let's discuss former UMNO and Barisan National Secretary General Tan Sri Anwar Musa's statement, where he says that the biggest Malay party has actually split into three groups. Do you have any visibility on this? I mean, who are the key figures in the different camps?
I think UMNO has always been a colourful party. There will be factions, you know, even when it was in power, it has multiple factions. So, I mean, to simplify the situation in UMNO, I think there are what is clear is there are two factions, at least in the party, those who are in the cabinet in one faction. On the other side, we have those who are not in the cabinet. So naturally, for those in the cabinet, their focus is in maintaining the stability of the coalition government. And rightly so, being in the cabinet means they have to adhere to the principle of collective responsibility. So this may be in conflict with the party's position or the position of those office bearers who are not in the cabinet and want to undermine Bersatu or the current administration.
So what internal fights should we be keeping an eye on within the party that you think will play out in the General Assembly that's been postponed and upcoming polls?
Well, I think both sides will be, I mean, naturally those who are in cabinet, those who are also leaders of their respective divisions will try to push their position at the assembly. Those who are in the cabinet will want to, more importantly, I guess, for them at the individual level, to maintain their position in the cabinet. Whereas those, the office bearers who are not in the cabinet, I think it's their interest to see UMNO or general election be called as quickly as possible so the party can return to its role that is most familiar with as the head of the government.
Which begs the question, right? Who do you see competing with Dato' Sri Zahid Hamidi then as UMNO president?
Well, I think at this stage, we don't see like a clear front runner yet for the president position. I mean, there are talks of his current deputy moving up to be the president, but there's also talk of certain senior ministers who seem to be credible by virtue of being a senior member of the cabinet. Yeah, I think it's still fluid now to say who can be the most credible challenger.
And so, Adib, we've been talking about Bersatu, UMNO, the infighting. Of the parties that have been the most quiet is PAS. Do you see them as kingmaker?
PAS is actually a very pragmatic party, you know, despite it being a very ideological, hardline Islamist party. But PAS will eventually side with the winner. You know, if you look at the history of PAS over the last two or three decades, I think PAS has been in partnership with most major political parties. These partnerships were formed with one objective in mind, power. So again, at the next electoral cycle, either before or after general election, PAS will once again choose to be in a position where it is most likely to gain or maintain power.
Related to this, of course, and I think you highlighted it just not too long ago, is how do you think these seat negotiations are going to be when it comes to GE15? How contentious will it really be? Because when you look at Bersatu, UMNO and PAS, they do have some ideological commonalities among them.
Firstly, the three parties, I think, especially UMNO and Bersatu, they contest for the same seats. PAS may have less competition in the East Coast, being the most dominant party. But it's a bit more tricky for UMNO and Bersatu. I mean, not only for seats that UMNO lost to Bersatu at the last general election, there are also seats where the UMNO MPs who won the general election defected to Bersatu when Mahathir was the prime minister. So for these seats especially, it's going to be very tricky. UMNO grassroots would want the seats back, but Bersatu will insist to contest the seat. So I think it's going to be tricky. I think we won't see the end of these negotiations until close to nomination day.
Thank you for your time. That was Adib Salkalpi, director at Bauer Group Asia, giving us his views on what's happening on UMNO and pretty much saying it's two camps. One camp is the cabinet boy camp and the other one is the non-cabinet boy camp. So, if you're in cabinet, you play ball with Bersatu because you're in government. And if you're not, perhaps you're like eyeing the general election sooner than later so that, hey, there can be a shift in terms of, the power.
And the calculations to how would they contest in the election is really fascinating. Would they pakat together? And would they do it with pass? Would they be able to swallow a bit of humble pie and get the seats out in place just before the election? I'm really intrigued to see whether there will be that consensus being secured prior to the election.
Well, I think political parties being political parties, what's the priority? To stay in power, right? Or to be in power? So compromises nonetheless will be made, but I think there will be fireworks along the way because as we know, there are seats that Bersatu and UMNO are both eyeing, right? And who gives up to who is, of course, you know, it's not going to be an easy decision. Do you give in to the incumbent or do you make way for someone else? I think those are questions that, you know, nobody knows at the moment and a lot of observation will be made in terms of the almost like horse trading, isn't it, at the end of the day? Because there'll be, okay, I give up this seat, but does it mean I give up another seat?
That's right. And I always hear this popular saying that you never disclose your position until the really last minute. So I'm just thinking how all this will maneuver. If you don't work, will Bersatu perhaps even go back to the fall of Pakatan Harapan?
Pakatan Harapan.
I don't know. You know,
you never know.
All these things are very possible permutations and it'd just be fascinating to see the different options and permutations that are laid out.
Yeah, I mean, even before this, there was talk that maybe UMNO and DAP might work together, which would be a first. I mean, these two are not exactly best friends. But this morning on our BFM tweet, we did ask, UMNO has said party polls will be held this year at a suitable time. And we asked, can Dato' Sri Zahid Hamidi retain leadership of UMNO? And there were four choices. So there was yes, no, don't know, and don't care. And no was the resounding answer with 44% saying no. 41% interestingly said they don't care. 7.9% said yes. And 5.9% said they don't know. Now, we did ask Adib, you know, who could be a potential runner against Datuk Sahid Hamidi, because in the last round, it was Khairi Jamaluddin who obviously lost. So this time round, who would be up against him, if at all? I'm curious to find out.
Well, he said the options seemed pretty thin. I'm interested in the poll because I'm not sure whether it reflects what's happening in UMNO. As in the earlier result, 143 of the 191 divisions did decide to not cooperate with Bersatu. So I'm wondering if that's an indicator of support for Zahid or not.
Yes, it's very different, you know, because you cannot forget UMNO is very much a grassroots party and that's where real power lies. But we're about to head into the 8 a.m. news bulletin and after that we'll have the breakfast grill where Lynn discusses US foreign policy and its impact on Southeast Asia with a panel of experts, which is extremely timely considering today is inauguration day for Joe Biden. And that's going to be happening in a few minutes, so stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.